San Diego weather, I think it's probably like the best joy there in the whole world. You know, just going through San Diego, enjoying a nice lunch, and then making our way back. We went up the coast, and we saw by one of went by one of our favorite camping spots, which is San Alijo State Beach State Park. And just a beautiful area right there, Encinitas and all of that. So we drove up the coast a little bit and then made our way inland, just had a good time. So I would encourage you who are married to take the time. Men, take the time with your wives and spend some time with them. You know, even if it's sometimes, you know, you can only get away for lunch or a dinner or, you know, a couple days, you know, make it a point to do that. Don't forget to date your wives, right? That's what we ought to do. So I want to encourage you. So sisters, you can thank me later. All right, we're also going to pray. Remember, we were praying every Wednesday and Sunday for another church and their pastor. So today we're going to pray for Calvary Chapel Corona, Pastor Mike Rodriguez and his wife Terry. And so let's pray for them. Father, we lift up Pastor Mike and his wife Terry. We ask, Lord, for your blessing upon them. Lord, that the things that they have given themselves to this morning, Lord, the preparation that Pastor Mike has given himself to teaching your word, Lord, would come across as effective in the hearts and in the lives, Lord, of every single person who has an ear to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church there. Our brothers and sisters at Calvary Chapel Corona. So bless them, Father, we pray. We lift them up to you. Ask that you would continue to give them favor, provide and protect them in every way. And may the gospel be furthered as they give themselves to serve you. We thank you, Lord, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so this morning we are continuing our study in the book of Revelation. This morning we are in Revelation chapter 5. So please turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 5. And the title of this morning's message is Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Let's begin by reading Revelation chapter 5 and verse 1. Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. And behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, and which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. Father, a glimpse of heaven. The very thing that John saw, you commanded to be communicated to us, that we in turn would respond to the word, that we would be affected in our own hearts, perhaps that we would see what awaits us in heaven in anticipation with great hope. And Lord, with that perspective, that we would look at the things of today in a different way. That as the Apostle Paul said, that it wasn't even worth bringing up those troubles and trials, those things that do everything to set us back and distract us. Those things paled in comparison to the glory that awaits us. Oh Lord, the things that are happening right now around the throne are truly wonderful. They are amazing. They are awesome in every way. They are so wonderful. And so help us, Lord, as we study your word, that, Lord, that by the power of your Spirit, Lord, you would instruct us, leading us into all truth, that you would be our teacher, and that these things would become clear to us. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, that as we see here, you are praiseworthy. And so we commit this time into your hands, Lord, and we pray this all in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen. Amen. We continue this week with a focus on the throne of God in heaven, as we learned last week, where God's judgments originate. What has been described as the one seated on the throne, what is around and before the throne, what came from the throne, and the praise of the one seated on the throne by the four living creatures and the 24 elders around the throne. Remember, as they cast their crowns before the Lord. And in so doing, saying, Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. And so we have this privilege of entering with John through a door that was standing open in heaven. If you would have that perspective, that is exactly what the Lord desires for us to realize in our own lives that right now in this moment, that we would not only know academically, not only that we would know by what we have here as far as facts, but that we ourselves would understand that one day we will, in effect, go through that door and into the very presence of God. His glory in the fullness of it. As John was called to and went through this door that was standing open in heaven, John, having been commanded by a voice like a trumpet to come up through that door and into heaven and stand before the throne of heaven, truly it is something beyond our imagination, and yet it is true. John was told by this voice, Come up here and I will show you what must take place after this. And at once I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven with one seated on the throne, as it says in Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. It is here and in that place that John stands, and it is here that we will learn about the one who is worthy to open the scroll, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lamb of God, who is slain. Worthy is the Lamb who is slain. And so we begin with this question in these first five verses, a question that was asked, and you could say this mighty angel who asked this question really set John up, but it was by the will of God that as he asked this question, of course, John would pay attention and focus on that and be concerned about what was to take place after that question was asked by this mighty angel. Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals? As heaven's voice asked this question. And so John's focus turns to the scroll that was held in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. As we see it mentioned here in verse 1, then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. His focus was turned to the one seated on the throne who held this scroll in his hand, written on both sides and sealed with seven seals. A scroll, as it would be common in those days, would be made of papyrus. It would be joined end on end. And if there was much to write, there would be writing on both sides. But if not, it would be on one. Well, there was much to write. And this specific scroll is described as having writing on both sides. And yet it was rolled up. And it was sealed with seven seals. It's estimated that the book of Revelation, if it was put into papyrus, which it was, would be an estimated 15 feet long. Interesting. That's what their books or the epistles of the Apostle Paul would be written on. And they would be rolled up. And that's how they would be transported. And they would be unrolled by the person who is reading scripture by holding it in their left hand and then unrolling it with their right and reading as they went through, reading the scriptures. What is interesting is that, as we will see, John's concern is the opening of the scroll. But here's the question, and you can look through the whole book of Revelation. What is written in the scroll? Did you think that perhaps if you haven't studied through the book of Revelation, that what is written in the scroll is the very thing that was told to John to write? One would have a tendency to think that. And yet, as you look through the entire book of Revelation, the answer to that question is, we don't know what's written in the scroll with the seven seals. Biblical scholars speculate. Perhaps it's the writing of the Old and New Testaments. Perhaps it's God's claim of divorce against Israel, judgment against the enemies of the church, the text of Revelation, or the title deed to planet Earth, as if it had been lost or given over. These are all things that as you read and you study the book of Revelation, these are the things that you're going to come across. But the truth is that Scripture does not reveal what is written on the scroll. But I believe that what we can deduce from what we have in our hands at this very moment, right, the Bible, what it is the will of God. We do know that. It is interesting that Roman law required a will to be sealed with seven seals. Seven witnesses were to attest of the contents of that will, and each witness would have their own seal on that will. And yet, what was common in that day? We know that God is not held to Roman law. I am confident when I say that God was not directed by Roman law concerning the writing of this scroll. But we can rest assured that it is that which God has willed. Therefore, the emphasis, as we see here, is not what is written on the scroll, but rather its seals and who is worthy to break those seals and open the scroll. That's what we have in this chapter. That's what we have in our text. That is the focus. That is the concern. That is the question that was asked. Who is worthy to break the seals? Therefore, John's focus was shifted to not just the one who sits on the throne, but the one who holds the scroll with the seven seals. As we see here in verse 2, "And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?'" This angel is described as being mighty or being strong. And it is this angel who asks with a loud voice. There's two mentions of a loud voice. One is the angel who asks this question. And then in a few moments, we'll see how it is that John cried with a loud voice. But this was so loud that all of heaven and earth heard this question. And as it is described, there must have been a pause after this question that was asked by this angel, because the response to this question was anticipated by John. And yet in verse 3, we know that the answer was that no one was worthy to open the scroll and break its seals, at least not on earth, under the earth. The voice was loud enough for the whole universe to hear. Because, as was described, as we have read, no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or look into it. Look at John's response here in verse 4. "And I began to weep loudly, because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or look into it." So there was this pause. The angel asked the question. And John, like I said, as if he was anticipating the response, was looking around. And no one was able to open the scroll or look into it. There's only one. Think about this. And there's salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Only the name of Jesus Christ. It's interesting, as even I think about this, I wonder how many of us are, or have in the past, done the very same thing. Who is able to deliver us? Who is able to save us? Who is able to get us through? Who is our hope? Who is our prize? Who is our goal? Who is our joy? And then when that voice rings in our own hearts and minds, we begin to look around, as if it came from someone or somewhere else. We look around to our jobs. We look around to whatever it is, other people, our spouse, our friends, our brothers and sisters in Christ. We begin to look in all sorts of different directions. Who will satisfy? Who will bring me contentment? Who will deliver me? Who will protect me? Who will provide for me? And we look around. We're anticipating an answer. But we ought to take note. John did not look to the throne. Excuse me. Because what we do know is that this brought John to tears, because he understood that what came after had to take place in order for the promised revelation of the things that must take place after this to be known. So he knew that those seven seals had to be broken and the scroll to be opened. But I love the long-suffering of the Lord. I love God's mercy. I love His grace. I love His patience. Because even John, as we consider what God was doing with him in this moment, he was revealing these things to him. And he moves on from this moment, but this brought him to tears. If he knew what was to come, if he knew the place to look, do you think he would have been moved to tears, or he would have been saying, I know what comes next, therefore, I'm not going to be full of anxiety. I'm not going to be full of worry. I'm not going to be concerned. I know the answer to this question. You understand what I'm saying? For you and I, we have the Word of God. Therefore, as these questions are presented to us, we should know the answers. That's why we should know, we should experience, we should possess the peace that surpasses all understanding. And then one of the elders spoke up. One of the 24 elders, right? Verse 5, he says, and one of the elders said to me, weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. How wonderful. One of the 24 elders who were around the throne of God, worshiping God, casting his crown down at the feet of the Lord, answered, and he spoke, weep no more. And then the next word, behold. Behold. Again, words that we should have inscribed in our hearts. Son, daughter, weep no more. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold, the one who sits on the throne. Behold, the one who holds our future. Behold, the one in whose glory we will be for all eternity. Behold, for us to consider, to meditate upon, to devote ourselves to fully commit to. In this, with this one elder as the beginning of the revealing of Jesus as it pertains to the scroll and the seven seals, this elder points to Jesus and describes him as the Lion of the tribe of Judah and the Root of David. In Genesis chapter 49, verses 9 and 10, it says, Judah is a lion's cub from the prey. My son, you have gone up. He stooped down. He crouched as a lion and as a lioness who dares rouse him. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until tribute comes to him, and to him shall be the obedience of the peoples. From Revelation. Jesus was able to show by his genealogy that he came through the line of Judah, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And one of the elders said, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. We know that the genealogy, it's set for us in Matthew chapter 1 and then also in Luke chapter 3. In fact, the image of the lion speaks of majesty, sovereignty, strength, and victory. The Root of David also, as Jesus is described by this elder, the Root of David. This term means that he brought David into existence. And as far as Jesus' humanity is concerned, Jesus had his roots in David. He came through the root of Jesse, David. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 and then also 10. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. In that day the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. But being described here as the root of David, speaks of Jesus' deity and of his attribute of being eternal. Before David, he was. And at the end of verse 5, we see that Jesus is worthy to open the scroll because of this very reason, because of his finished work, because he conquered. He has conquered sin, and he has conquered death. He is victorious, and in him we are victorious over sin and death. And with this, we begin the answer to the question that was posed, that was started with, who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals? This question that was asked by the angel. But then we have the answer. We're given the answer as it begins there in verse 5 and then continues in verse 6, as it says, "In between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints." The answer to this question is given. We know that today, in this very moment, where is Jesus positioned? He ascended, and today sits at the right hand of the Father, right? We know that to be true. But as we see here, Jesus is not sitting. He rose to his feet. He now stands for the judgment of God upon the earth, which begins with the breaking of the seven seals of the scroll that God the Father held in his right hand. Even though one of the elders had described Jesus as a lion of the tribe of Judah, when John turned, because this is how he was described by this elder, right? He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. And when he turned and saw, what did he see? He didn't see a lion. He saw a lamb. And not just any lamb, but one who had the marks of having suffered, of having been slain. Those are, by the way, the marks of victory. That's what they are. They are not the marks of defeat. They are the marks of victory. Sometimes we may think that to bear the marks of suffering is something that shows weakness, but it doesn't. In Christ, those are marks that align us with the Lord. Suffering. He was victorious. In Christ, we are victorious. He was the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world, as John the Baptist declared as he saw Jesus coming to be baptized. Jesus Christ is referred to as a lamb 28 times in the book of Revelation, throughout the book of Revelation, 28 times. And a few of these references are in relation to God's wrath, God's cleansing, and God's church. God's wrath, we see in Revelation 6:16, God's wrath, the wrath of the Lamb. God's cleansing in Revelation 7:14, by the blood of the Lamb. And God's church, the bride of the Lamb, in Revelation 19:7 and also Revelation 21:9. And as we see here describe the Lamb as having seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. The attributes of God are what's described here. The attributes of God are described here as the seven horns, which speaks of his omnipotence, the seven eyes, which speak of his omniscience, and the seven spirits speak of his omnipresence. God is omnipotent, he is omniscient, and he is omnipresent. And this is what is referred to here. Verse 7 says, "And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne." The one who conquered was the one who was worthy of opening the scroll and breaking its seals. And he is the one who stepped forward from between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, as was described back in chapter 4. And took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And you can say that in this moment, things changed dramatically. There was a praise, there was a worship that we see in chapter 4, but this kind of took a different turn. As John was concerned about the scroll and the seven seals, the question was posed by this mighty angel. The answer was given. Remember that John was sobbing. He was weeping. It wasn't a light cry. It wasn't a light sadness of the heart. It was a grieving that John felt. And he went from sobbing, from grieving, to experience glorious singing. The singing of a new song sung by the four living creatures and the 24 elders who fell before the Lamb in worship. But notice what they had in their hands. Verse 8 says, "And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints." We don't pray enough. If we were truly to realize how much God desires that we talk with Him, that we commune with Him, the effectiveness that comes in the life of the believer as he gives himself to prayer, when we consider this, that our prayers are so precious to the Lord that He has them in these bowls. I pray that it would be that thought and that understanding that would drive us to our knees more and we'd cry out to the Lord. A picture of the fact that our prayers are present with God and that they matter to Him. They are kept in His presence. And they are held along with instruments of praise in the hands of those who are divinely ordained to be stationed around Him. They aren't kept in some vault in another location. The throne of God, the elders, with these bowls of incense and a harp to praise God together, present before the Lord. That's how precious the prayers of the saints are to God. Also notice the posture of the 24 elders. They weren't singing standing up. They were face down before the Lamb. Face down. The question is, why did the whole atmosphere change? And it was because of what was realized, what was confessed, what was testified of in heaven. It was because of the work of the Lamb of God, His shed blood. He is worthy of opening the scroll and its seven seals, but he was worthy because of his redeeming work that he accomplished on the cross. That's why. Because in verse 5, again it says, and he has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. This was the reason why he was able to do that very thing. And the very reason why he is praiseworthy. Because of the cross, not only is he worthy of taking the scroll and opening it, but this was its effect. And as we read, we see what it affected. And they sang a new song, saying in verse 9, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. God's redeeming work. This is the new song, the song of the redeemed. And as we read there, we are reminded that Jesus ransomed people from every tribe, every language, every people, every nation. For God desires that no one perish, but that everyone reach repentance, right? Everyone. He loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He sent him to die in our place, that through him we would know salvation, the forgiveness of our sins, God's grace, and the hope of eternal life with him in his glory. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Whoever, it's a matter of choosing him as he has chosen you before the foundations of the earth. But this is only possible because he took upon himself the sin of the world and paid for it by his blood. Jesus also, as we see here, he made them a kingdom. The question we should ask is, who's them? It's you and I. Those people who have believed that Jesus is the Son of God and who have surrendered their lives to Jesus and in turn have come to know forgiveness of their sins and eternal life in the Lamb of God. Those are the them. Glory to God. That is enough to rejoice. That is enough to live our lives in such a way that we are committed, devoted, completely given to him in every way. But know this, that with that, what awaits us is something beyond, again, our imagination, something that is beyond what we can think or imagine, because we are joint heirs with Christ of the riches of God in heaven. The mention of priests speaks of service in God's kingdom unto God. You know, even though we just read about harps and bowls of incense, the prayers of the saints being held by the 24 elders, we are not going to be on clouds, leaning back against perhaps another cloud and just playing instruments. No, there are things to do. There are things, I can't wait. I can't wait to see what awaits us. Because as priests, this speaks again of service in God's kingdom unto God. A doorkeeper, I don't know, tending to his garden, I would love that job. To reign speaks of joining him and ruling under his authority one day on earth during his millennial reign. He says that we will come and we're going to get to it in Revelation. They will be coming with him to rule and reign. The 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down on their faces and sung a new song to the Lamb of God, to Jesus, because at this point, they knew this. Well, John knew it fully because he was there, right? And they all knew it fully because it was revealed to them. In heaven, today we live by faith. In heaven, no faith will be necessary. The fullness of God will be known. We will experience that day in and day out. Nothing will grow old. We will know just as we are known, as it says in 1 Corinthians 13. They knew, today I pray we worship in faith. What is certain? Worthy is the Lamb. Amen? The emphasis of their worship was the Lamb's work of redemption. That was the focus in the fullness of it. As we read in verses 9 and 10, this new song, the song of the redeemed. The worship of Jesus went from the four living creatures and the 24 elders to now, as we will conclude with the last few verses, to everyone in all creation. And John had a front seat to it all. Check this out. Verse 11. Then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders and the voice of many angels numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." This worship, I mean, it just went from the 24 elders, the four living creatures, to all of creation. Might have gotten a little louder. I love when, because I'm encouraged when we're all singing so loud that we drown out the worship team. Just sing. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, right? Because he is praiseworthy. It was for what the Lamb possessed. He possessed the ability to break these seals. But here's the thing that they described in this praise that they are singing with a loud voice is the way they are. It is described here. He possesses all power, all wealth, all wisdom, all might, all honor, all glory, and all blessing. Jesus didn't receive this type of worship while he was on earth. In fact, in Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5, it says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed." But it was because of that, because he was willing to be obedient to the point of death on the cross, that he made it possible for us to know the hope of heaven, and that he, in our chronology, God sees this as it has already taken place, because he sees the fullness of time. For us, chronologically, we will see that he will receive this worship of the innumerable. So many praising God that it'll be beyond our ability to count. Jesus, though, he was mocked. He was laughed at because they thought him a fool, and yet he is the very wisdom of God. He shared in the weakness of humanity and experienced everything we do, becoming weary, thirsty, hungry, and even weeping over the loss of others. He experienced humiliation, and as the world treated him with contempt, we need to consider this. Yet he is the King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords. He is the possessor of heaven and earth. He is the creator of the universe, and he is our Redeemer. Worthy is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Worthy is the Lamb to be praised, the one who's able to take the scroll from the hand of the Father and to begin to break the seals, which we will see next week as we continue our study. The angels, we know, did not sing the song of the redeemed, but they did sing about the greatness of God's redeeming work. In verse 12, it says, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And the overall greatness of God in every way is seen in verse 13. "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." All of creation. C.H. Spurgeon said this, quote, "Depend upon it, my hearer, you never will go to heaven unless you are prepared to worship Jesus Christ as God. They are all doing it there. You will have to come to it. And if you entertain the notion that he is a mere man or that he is anything less than God, I am afraid you will have to begin at the beginning and learn what true religion means. You have a poor foundation to rest upon. I could not trust my soul with a mere man or believe in an atonement made by a mere man. I must see God himself putting his hand to so gigantic a work." Close quote. And that gigantic work, to him, it's not gigantic, right? To us, it's something that would be impossible. For him, he was willing. "For God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He sent his only begotten to die in your place. Worthy is the Lamb." God's redeeming work through Jesus Christ, the one who is able, who is worthy to not only take the scroll, but to begin to break those seven seals, as again we will see next week. In verse 14, we see the conclusion to this. Verse 14 says, "And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped." What is described here as the worship of the elders, it's as if it was in two parts as they responded. To fall down is to fall down before the throne of God to one's knees. The word used for worshiped is to prostrate oneself. Face down. That is what happened with the four living creatures and the 24 elders. Listen, we began with the one who sat on the throne holding the scroll and the seven that possessed the seven seals. We started this chapter with John weeping because as the angel asked the question as to who was worthy to take the scroll and break its seals, there was no one worthy. And yet from between the throne and the four living creatures and the 24 elders stood one who is able, who is worthy to break the seals and to open the scroll. And the reason why was because of his finished work on the cross, because of his shed blood. Having conquered sin and death by his shed blood, it is he who ransomed you with his blood, sacrificing himself on your behalf. Therefore, with all of this, we ought to respond. How then shall we respond to what we have come to know? How should that affect how we live our lives? Our perspective of conflict and issues and difficulties and trials and tribulations. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, and he was worshipped in such a way that it is truly beyond our imagination. It is described here. But one day we will see his worship and be a part of it before him in all of his glory. Here we see the whole creation, heaven and earth, praising the Lamb. The elders fell down and worshipped. The question for us is, do we know Jesus as Lord, as Savior, as King? Because if you don't know him as Lord and Savior here, this morning, know this, that he paid for your sins in full. Salvation comes by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, not by works, lest any man should boast. There is salvation in no one else. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. To the one who surrenders their life to Jesus Christ and calls upon the name of the Lord, that person shall be saved, as it says in Romans 10:13. So I pray that if you're here and you don't know salvation, the forgiveness of your sins, the hope of eternity with God through Jesus Christ, that today be the day of salvation, that you give your life over to Jesus Christ. Because it says in God's word, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Salvation awaits you. Pray again, you do not leave here this morning without having surrendered your life to Christ, or if you have questions to come up and ask. I'm always available afterwards to cover any questions. With this said, I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. If we could all stand, rise to our feet. And as the worship team comes up, I'm going to read the portions of scripture in this chapter as well as the last chapter to give us again a reminder of what's happening around the throne. In chapter 4, in verse 8, it says, and the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within, and day and night they never cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. Chapter 5 and verse 9. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels numbering myriads and myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. Oh, Lord, I do ask, Lord, that you would give us, Lord, in our own hearts, a reminder of who you are, how much you love us, that you demonstrated it by sending your son to die on the cross on our behalf. Lord, that would cause us to, that would compel us, Lord, to worship you with our entire lives, that we would give ourselves to you as an offering, and that you would do with us what you will. That we would desire simply to bless you, to walk with you, to enjoy you, delight in you. And that because you are faithful, to praise you every day and look forward with great hope what awaits us in heaven, and to bring as many people as we possibly can with us as we proclaim the gospel. We declare our salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, bless the rest of this day, Lord. May we be mindful of you. We love you, and we pray this in Jesus' name.